This week in the cellar, my brother Tracy Lawrence is in the house. We're gonna have a blast, you know, because we always do, right? That's right.
That's it, man.
Okay, and go. Everybody, welcome to Songs from the Cellar today. My brother Tracy Lawrence is in the house.
Man,
it's good to see you finally, man. I'm happy you're here. Travis Newman is here too. And the last time I saw you, he's our guitar guru buddy. And you know, it's funny because you know I've been friends with you for a long time. But I mean, I'm looking through your, I'm like, what should we do? What songs should we do? And we could do, and it's like a list of hits. I mean, you think about it. I mean, it was ripping for.
The 90s were good, you know, but it was different back then. You know, when I got my deal in the early 90s, back then you'd cut an album a year, you got four singles a year, they'd do a video on at least two, sometimes three of them. You know, so over a 10-year span, you got to amass a huge body of work that you can work on forever. You know, I had a lot of hit records, you know, quite a few number ones. Some of them didn't impact very well, some of them that were major impacting. But, you know, one of the biggest records I ever had was like Paint Me a Birmingham, and it barely went top five.
You know what,
and
that
I had those other honky-tonk stuff, but there was some really good stuff through that period, you know.
During that span... You know, it was, like I said, man, like every 15, 16 weeks, you'd have a number one song. It was like that fast. Now it's like 50 weeks.
It takes, the last number one that I had was Find Out Who Your Friends Are. It was in 07. I think that record was on the charts for 43 weeks. It was the longest charted single that I've ever had. It took forever to get it to the top. It was,
dude, that's another story in of itself, man. I mean, that is such a cool deal, how y'all... I mean, that was on your deal, right?
That was on my own label.
That
was when I got dropped, when I got cut from Universal.
Right.
You know, and that was probably my proudest moment in the music industry because nobody had ever done that out of the box with a startup label.
I mean, I remember when all that was going down, and it was, you know, it was people trying to fight that. That song could not be stopped from going number one.
It was massive.
With Tim and Kenny. And I mean, it was so cool, bro. I mean, it was...
So Tim texted me, it was last night, Tim texted me last night, and he sent me this picture of us at some golf tournament, and I have the ugliest shirt you've probably ever seen. Oh, this had to be like 91, like years and years ago, and he's in some short jean cutoff shorts that he probably wished he had never worn. I mean, it was bad. It was just, it's like, what were we wearing back then,
man? I
literally tried to find the ugliest stuff I could find.
Well, it's fun, I mean, because you go back and you look at some of these videos. I was checking some of that stuff out in the last couple of weeks. I've been looking up stuff, and of course, your old stuff, alibis, and, you know, I remember Randy Boudreau, who we were just talking about. He was a writer in Nashville, and he wrote Alibis, and which was one of my, I love that song. I mean, what a great record y'all cut on that. And then, but it was, I remember him going, man, I got this song I wrote for Tracy Lawrence. I think it's going to do real well. And you know how he was, but man, that
song.
Oh, he's
a salesman, wasn't he?
Oh, my God.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that Tracy Byrd cut that before I did.
Oh, really?
Tracy was playing at a club called Cutters down in Beaumont.
Yeah.
And he'd been playing that in the club for a couple of years, and he got his deal. Alibis was my second album, my sophomore album.
Right.
And so I had recorded it, and Byrd had cut it for the record that he was getting ready to release on his first national album. And it got cut from the record. It didn't make it. And he'd been playing it in Cutters for like 2 years
really?
Or something. Oh, yeah. So it was almost a Tracy Byrd song.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, you know what? That's another guy. I mean, how many hits did Tracy had? A lot of hits.
A bunch of them, man. So many.
I mean, it was so much fun back then.
The camaraderie was great back then. It really was.
Exactly.
We all loved doing shows together because everybody likes to hang out with each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody was having success. And it seemed like everybody had their own lane. Everybody had their own sound and doing their own thing. There were some really great producers in town. There was the songwriting was phenomenal back then. There was so much great stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like everybody was really genuinely proud for each other.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Right.
For the most part.
Right. Yeah, I don't think the competition was like that. Like we were talking, with you guys, I mean, like Tracy, think about that, and Vince, and Brooks and Dunn, and Garth, and Alan Jackson. I mean, think of all the stuff going on at that time.
There was a lot of great music.
Travis Tritt. I mean, Travis and Clint Black. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on. And it was just, and everybody was, I mean, that was the biggest.
It was a great time.
It was the biggest explosion of our genre.
It really
was. It was the first time it had ever gotten that big.
It hit in 89 because I remember Mark Chestnut, yep. Travis Tritt, Clint Black, Garth Brooks. I think that was maybe Alan Jackson. Alan Jackson, they all came out in 1989.
That's right, Alan too.
Because I was playing all that stuff on the club circuit. And I moved to Nashville in the fall of 90. And
you got a deal like that right away?
7 months. From the time I rolled into town till I went in the studio to cut sticks and stones, I was here 7 months. And I didn't know anybody when I got here. It was crazy.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
I mean, we could do like 8 episodes on you today.
We can have a good time, man.
Dude, we always do, man. It's so much fun to have you here, man.
Thank you for having me, by the way. So I see all your alcoholic adult beverages back there.
Once people get in here, man, they never like to leave.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
It is a good thing.
And you got a new record, too. You just did Made in America, which is, I guess, is it out now or is it getting ready to come out in the summer?
It came out last year, so we're actually touring with Justin Moore right now.
Oh, fun.
We just did our second weekend together, and so I'm playing pretty much a lot of stuff. I mean, we're doing like a 75-minute show, both of us, or we're co-headlining, but I'm probably doing three or four new things, something like that. One, two, three. I think four new songs in the show, and then I still try to do a lot of those old hits, and I'm still tweaking a couple of spots where I feel a lull in the crowd, you know. So I'm adding new things all the time, you know. I'm not locked into the grid. I don't do anything with tracks and stuff. We just go out there and play, man.
Well, we should do Made in America. Let's do that together.
This is a title track off of my current album out there.
All right, brother.
We good?
What key are you in? What key is this, Travis?
10A.
Okay, I thought so.
Right. Yeah. So this is the title track. I wrote 8 of the 11 songs on this album. Or of the 12 songs, I published 3 of the other ones from guys like Rick Huckabee that wrote for me a long time.
That's right,
stuff
yeah.
I found. I cut one outside song on the record. It's from Chris Stapleton and Sean Kemp.
All right.
So everything else is mine. And I've never done that much on an album before, so I'm very proud of this.
That's awesome, man. Well, I'm excited.
Me and Adam Sanders and Rick Huckabee wrote this song. It's called Made in America. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's the first assembly line, making that Detroit steel. Asphalt streets, roads in the fields. It's a loving handout, somebody gets down on their luck. It's Friday night lights, 4th and goal touchdown. A walk-off homer, hear the roar of the crowd. Sat go a little deeper, when that going gets tough. Made in America, it's who we are, what we have, what we do. It's a heart full of pride, stars and stripes, red, white, and blue. It's standing your ground, not backing down and never giving up. Made in America. Hardworking hands and backs that don't break, roots that run deep, all 50 states. It comes from the freedom born in every single one of us. It's who we are, what we have, what we do. It's a heart full of pride, stars and stripes, red, white, and blue. Standing your ground, not backing down and never giving up. Made in America. Yeah. It's who we are, what we love, what we do. For the ones who died, stars and stripes, red, white, and blue. It's standing your ground, not backing down and never giving up. Made in America.
Love it, man. So good. We'll be right back with Tracy Lawrence. We're back on Songs from the Cellar with Tracy Lawrence.
Yes.
And that tight-wearing dude over there, buddy. You know what? This is, we were just talking about some of these, some road stories, you know, about, you know, like some of the tricks, like on tours. I mean,
I was really bad.
You, like, are legendary, dude. It's like, don't ever go out, you know, Tracy's going to mess you up. And don't ever try to hit him back.
So me and Bird, we did the TNT tour in the late 90s.
Yep.
And we probably did 20 or 30 shows together. And we ended up in Florida. Our last show of the tour was in Florida. And we alternated headliners. So the last one, I wound up closing. So when we got there that day, we had already staged some of it. I got one of those big ping pong ball nets. We had 1,000 ping pong balls. You put up in the rafters so it hit him in that spot where he has his moment where he milks the crowd. You know, and then we had
the pie
pans with the whipped cream in them and all that stuff going on. And I was preparing for the retaliation, so I had like flats of eggs that we brought out as soon as the show was over because we hit them hard. What they didn't know is when they got back to the bus, they thought it was over. And we had gone to a bait store, and we strode 1,000 crickets in his bus.
That's the story I'm talking.
Mad. He was so mad. He said it took weeks to get them out. They got down in the walls. You'd be laying there trying to sleep. They'd start chirping. They had to get in the summer and turn the heater on full blast and just leave it running for about 3 days to try to flush them out. And then later on, he found the dead fish that we'd put in the bay.
Oh!
My other one, man, I got Chesney one time. He was opening for me back then. I tell you how long ago this was. And we were playing a show, a charity show in my hometown. And I'd got all the Agra girls. I got the Agra to go get a bunch of crates of chickens. And you know how girls would come by and lay roses on the stage and stuff? They came by and they set chickens on the stage. It was awesome. There were chickens roosting all over his stage. It was the greatest thing I've ever seen. It was awesome.
When you were growing up, who did you listen to? I mean, you listened. Like, we were talking about Styx today. Tommy Shaw wasn't here
with us.
It's so funny how we all listened to everything back then.
I did. I listened to everything. You know, I remember all the way back in the early part of my life, I remember watching the Glenn Campbell variety show when I was three or 4 years old.
Absolutely.
And that was my introduction to country music. I used to tell when I was 5 and 6 years old, there's pictures of me with this plastic guitar with cowboy boots on, and I'd tell everybody, I look like Glenn Campbell and I sing like Charlie Pride.
Like a rhino.
I'm telling you.
That's a good combination.
But I grew up listening to everything. I liked all kinds of pop stuff. I loved Kenny Rogers when I was a kid. You
Man,
know,
me too.
When Lucille and all the early pop country. And then when I was about 12, but I listened to Styx and everything else. I was a huge Van Halen, ZZ Top fan.
Exactly.
Lynyrd Skynyrd, CCR, all that Southern classic rock and roll. Loved it all. But I found my voice when I was about 12, and I realized that I really gravitated toward Merle Haggard and Keith Whitley and all those guys. So when I was 12, Straight was just coming out, and I literally was obsessed with that country sound, that Texas country thing that he was doing. It was really cool to me because it was different at the time. It was different than what anybody else was doing.
Oh, yeah.
That was when I really – the dream started for me. That's when it started.
And those songs –
Amarillo by Morning and Unwound.
Oh, my God.
You know, Marina Del Rey. The stuff off that first record was massive to me.
I mean, it's it. And I think, too, and that's been one of your keys to success is those freaking songs, dude.
It's all about the song, man.
We're back with my brother, Tracy Lawrence. Thanks, buddy, for being here. This is so good.
I've been looking forward to this so much,
man. We've been talking about they're doing this for a long time, and, you know, I've done your radio show. And it's like we were just talking about, man, it's just weird being the interviewer instead of the interviewee, man. I'm just learning my way around this. It's a lot of fun, man.
This is awesome, man. Yeah, I love, you got like a huge staff and everything.
I know,
this is cool. Awesome, man.
I mean, they're great. I mean, this is, it's been so much fun doing this, you know, it's like, you know, you just do. For me, I was just always such a songwriting junkie. You know, I always loved, you know, the Lennon and McCartney and the Eagles and, you know, all the stuff. And, you know, Merle Haggard, singer-songwriters like that, and Billy Joel and Elton John. It goes on and on, Tom Petty, and as we've
just
talked
about. Just all of it. But, you know, the coolest thing for me is getting a chance to hang out with my peers.
Yeah.
And at times being able to have conversations in a setting like this that you might not have ever had the chance to do.
Yeah.
And I've really enjoyed that. I just I did the country music cruise for the first time at the end of January.
Right.
And I was out there with T. Graham Brown and Exile And Pam Tillis was there, the Oak Ridge Boys.
Wow.
They did a Grand Ole Opry night. And there's just a ton of folks there. I got to hang out with Noel and Ben Haggard, and they would tell us all those old Haggard stories. Just being in that environment was really cool for me because I love sharing stories with my peers and talking music and where songs came from. I mean, it's really cool to see who still got a little oomph and who don't.
We've done shows together. I love it. It's like different kinds of music. I think it's so much fun, you know, that when genres kind of, you know.
Oh, man, it's awesome. We're opening up for ZZ Top in April.
How much fun
is
that?
It's so cool, and you get a chance to do those real eclectic things every now and then.
Sammy
I love
Hagar,
it.
Whatever.
I love it. So this song that we're about to, when I did the vocal on this, so we cut Time Marches On, all in Nashville players, but I was really looking for a new vibe to do something, to do the vocals in. So we went to Miami.
With
all the vocals for Time Marches On, both what the stuff I produced and the stuff that Don produced were all done at Criteria.
Really?
In Miami. And that's where they cut Layla, where a lot of that Eagles stuff was done.
That's right.
So, I mean, the piano is still there.
Did the Bee Gees cut their
piano? Yes. I mean, there's just a huge endless.
Oh, pool. Man.
And just, I'm getting chills.
I know, man. I want to go there.
There. And it's just a dumpy old studio, man. Yeah. They hadn't changed the carpet since the 70s. I'm serious. But just
the funk
to be
in it.
There in that place, there's just something about being able to capture that energy in that place that you can't reproduce it. Ever.
I mean, it's, you know, and Bobby Braddock.
God love Bobby.
I mean, Bobby's such a great songwriter. Of course, He Stopped Loving Her Today, and Time Marches On. I don't think he had to write any more than two songs, and that's probably about.
But think of his body. He worked Texas Tornado.
That's right.
Had
Texas
Tornado.
He
had some Billy Currington hits.
Yeah.
He had some stuff on Trace Atkins.
He's still having hits.
He's one of the. I was there when they inducted him into the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And he requested that I play Time Marches On for his induction, which I thought was very cool.
It's one of his
he
favorites.
He just celebrated 50 years. As a professional songwriter in this industry, five decades for that man writing songs. I mean, can you fathom that?
No,
I mean, it's just unbelievable that he's been able to continue to create things on that level. And he'll swing for the fence now. There might be five songs you go, but that one, baby, every now and then he hits one completely over the back wall.
Well, he did on this. Let's do this. This is one of my favorite songs ever, man. And
2, 3, okay, 4. Sister cries out from her baby bed. Brother runs in, feathers on his head. Mama's in her room, learning how to sew. Daddy's drinking beer, listening to the radio. Hank Williams sings to Elijah and dear John. And time marches on. Time marches on. Sister's ears in orange and clear complexion soap. Brother's wearing beads and he smokes a lot of dope. Mama is depressed, barely makes a sound. Daddy's got a girlfriend in another town. Bob Dylan sings like a rolling stone. And time marches on. Time marches on. South moves north, the north moves south. A star is born, a star burns out. The only thing that stays the same is everything changes, everything changes.
Play a little something on the front there for me, Rick.
Me? I like this.
Sister calls herself a sexy grandma. Brother's on a diet for
high cholesterol. Mama's out of touch with reality. Daddy's in the ground beneath the maple tree as the angels sang an old Hank Williams song. Time marches on. Time marches on. Time marches on. Time marches on. Yeah, time marches on. Time marches on.
Best ever right there, dude. It's one of the best ever, I think.
Yeah, man.
Tracy Lawrence, what do you do?
Yeah,
love
baby.
You, brother. Good to see
Thank
you. Travis,
friend.
Thanks for being here
Thank
today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here in the cellar. We'll see you next time. Woo!